discovered that Mi'i makes a mean cup of tea. So if you would like to go down and have a cup of tea with Mi'i, down on the corner here, he'll give you a mean cup of tea, eh, Mi'i? Yep. So just feel free to pop in and have a chat there. Don't overstay your welcome, though. So it's good to see you this morning. If you haven't been to church for a while, that's really awesome. It's good to be a church. It's good to be with the people of God, all right? It's good to gather and to worship and to hear God's word. It's really important in our lives, and we all know that. We know that you're in a good place. Right now, you're in a good place here, okay? There's lots of bad places you can be. There's lots of bad people you can be with, but you're here in a good place with people who are not perfect, but people who are trying to follow Jesus, right? And know that they need Jesus and know that they ain't perfect and need all the help they can get. And speaking of perfection and ideal, I read that passage before about that woman, and it sounds like the perfect woman. I don't know if any of you guys were sitting there, and it's like, it just sounds sweet. She does everything, and you just kick back and relax. The woman of Proverbs 31. But we know that the perfect woman does not exist, just as the perfect man does not exist, all right? We don't have to live too long to discover that and realize that. But we do know, though, that there is the right woman and the right man, or maybe we could say the ideal woman or the ideal man for us. And you've probably found him or her. And it's the same with Christians. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian, all right? If somebody tells you, I'm the perfect Christian, or this person or that person was the perfect Christian, they're not telling the truth. They're mistaken, okay? The only perfect Christian that there has ever been, his name is what? Jesus, right? Jesus. Jesus is the only perfect Christian because he is our Lord and Savior and we follow him, right? But there are ideal Christians, or there are great examples of Christians, and this passage here helps us to sort of see that and see a good example of someone that we should follow. Well, as Dan read this passage to us this morning, you would have noticed that this is the Apostle Paul. He's doing what the Apostle Paul is always doing. He's on the road. He's always journeying. He's meeting with people. He's going places, and he's doing different things. And one of the things you would have noticed that he does is he's preaching sermons so long that people fall asleep and die because they fall out the window and they break their neck, right? In fact, I read a book recently by a guy who's written a book, and it's called Saving Tychicus, okay? So it's like how to preach sermons that don't put people to sleep. I think I haven't read the book, but I assume that must be what it's going to be about. And He then has to go to Jerusalem. He knows that the opposition to him has been growing, so he's on his way to Jerusalem, but he really wants to catch up with the leaders of the church in this place called Ephesus, and I have forgotten, sorry, Mr. Creek, yeah. I've even got a picture or a map, maybe. I don't know if it, does that work? If I turn it on, that always helps, doesn't it? Okay. So there we go, there's a bit of a map there. So Ephesus is up there, that's up in what is today Turkey, and Miletus was the port, or the main port for that area. By the way, it's all filled in now, it's been silted in, so you can, where that bay is there, you can actually walk across these days. Have you been there? Yeah, so Mike's been there, so if you want to know what it's like, whether they've got McDonald's and Miletus, you can talk to Mike about it afterwards. So it's just helpful for us again to see that when you're reading the Bible, you're reading about actual places. Okay, this is not made up fairy tales. This is not stuff that somebody's just written a fantasy about. These are actual places, actual people, actual events. So he calls for them to travel from Ephesus and to come down and meet him. And there's, have you seen this, Mike, have you? Yeah, so this is the theater in Miletus. And so he asked them to come and meet him there. And when they gather there, he wants to challenge them and encourage them. And so you've got this big speech here in Acts chapter 20, which starts from about verse 18. When he had arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time with you." And I want to take a couple of messages just to look at this speech that the Apostle Paul makes, because I think it's good. There's good stuff in it for us. I think we can all learn from it. I think we can learn this for three reasons, right? It's helpful for us to see what a church leader should look like, especially since this is sometimes a confusing thing for us today. And in this speech here, Paul actually outlines or explains or describes what a church leader should look like, a pastor or an elder or whatever you want to call them. He describes that. He explains that. And I think it's really important for us to know that, because it can be confusing. I don't know if you've been in many different churches and you go into different church settings, and it seems like, wow, that person's got heaps of power, or there's nobody here who's kind of responsible, and you read things in the newspaper about church leaders and different doing silly stuff, and it kind of gets confusing. And so it's important for us, it's helpful for us to know that. But secondly, I think it speaks to us just as Christians, all of us here as Christians, because it talks about what is expected of a Christian life, of a healthy Christian life, as he describes his own life and his expectations for them. But it's also helpful for you today, even if you don't consider yourself to be a Christian. Because sometimes when you're looking from the outside in, you know, you say to yourself, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm kind of interested, or I want to learn about Christianity, or I want to find out about Christians. Sometimes when you're looking from the outside in, it can be, again, a little bit confusing. What is a genuine Christian? Who are these Christians? What should these Christians actually look like and be like? What is a real Christian message? What is it that I should be expecting and looking for? So here I want to talk today a little bit about a portrait of a Christian. And the portrait that we see today, the portrait that the Apostle Paul in this passage, just the few verses I want us to focus on, and I'm going to read them for you now. So it says in verse 18, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. And although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house, and I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What is happening here? What's he talking about? Well, what he's talking about there is he's talking about himself, isn't he? And that's sometimes a risky thing for us to do. You know, none of us... not many people maybe like to stand up and say, look at me, I'm the person you should all be looking at, or I'm the example. But the Apostle Paul is kind of doing that here. He is saying, I'm going to tell you about what it means to be a church leader and what it means to be a good Christian, and I want you to look at me as somebody. You know, you notice how he starts his speech or his words. He says, you know how I lived with you the whole time. And he talks about himself in the first person all the way. He talks about what he's done. He's talked about his life. He's talked about his actions. He talks about his words and his preaching as well. And so what I think is helpful for us to do today is just to look at that, those two ideas of what does an ideal Christian look like? And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking in terms of preaching. You know, sometimes people say, practice what you preach, right? Has anybody ever said that to you before? Practice what you preach. Our children are sometimes really good at that, eh? We often will say to them things like, don't eat with your hands. And you know, I've done that. I've said, don't eat with your hands, and then I've looked and I'm actually holding a chicken drumstick in my hands or something like that, you know? Or don't talk with your mouth full, or whatever it is. Or don't run inside the house and the phone rings and you run down the hallway. And so it's like, practice what you preach, okay? Kids, figure that out. Don't tell them to do something and you go and do it, because they'll just do what you do, won't they? They don't necessarily hear what you say. They'll do what you do. And so we sometimes say that to people, practice what you preach. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. Notice in the first part, he says, you know the kind of life that I live. Lived. And so what he does is he sets before them an example of living out the gospel, living out the message about Jesus in his life and in his actions. And I think that's really important. We need to hear about this. We need to have examples that we can follow, because, as you know, too often we meet people or we hear about people or you read about people who've said, hey, everybody, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a good Christian. I'm a good churchgoer. I love Jesus or I love God. And then you look at their life and their life is kind of like way out of whack. Their life is just crazy. They're up to all kinds of bad stuff, all kinds of, harmful and naughty and stuff like that, which you know, they might be just greedy people. They spend all their time thinking about money and gathering stuff and taking stuff. They might be mean people. They never have a kind word to say to anybody. They're always just pushing people down, just criticizing everybody, just tearing others down. They might be violent people, violent against their own children or violent against their own spouse, their own husband or their own wife. They might be, their lives might be perverted and twisted in some other way or worse kind of stuff. And sometimes we look at that and we go, wow, this person says they're a Christian. Look at how they're living. Are they really a Christian? Is that really what the Christian life looks like? Do I really want to be like that? Is that something that's attractive? And you wonder to yourself, how can this person be a Christian when they live like this? And so what this guy is doing here, this guy called Paul, he's reminding these people that he's speaking to them. He says, you guys know me, all right? And so he's saying, follow my example because you guys know me. You know my life. Notice how he explains it. He says, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. Okay, so what he's saying is that he lived in a public way. He didn't go off and hidey-hide in a private place. He didn't have a little, hotel room where he would go and he would just come out and preach in the church on Sunday and then go back into his hotel room and they didn't know anything else about him. He says, you know how I lived. You know the kind of life that I lived. You know, you had meals with me. You went to parties with me. You came to the rugby with me. You went on a walk with me. You saw me at my workplace when I was making tents and that sort of stuff that Paul used to do. He had arrived there. He'd been with them for about 3 years when he turned up in 51. He talks about the way he served. He says, I came into the province of Asia. He says, verse 19, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. The Jews were his enemies. At that point, he was a Jew himself, but the Judaizers were his enemies. And so he says, he served them in a humble and sort of selfless way. They saw his example. He wasn't just there for himself. He wasn't just trying to get as much money off them, taking up church offerings and putting it in his own bank account. He was there to help and do stuff for other people. He wasn't even too concerned about his own well-being. He was more concerned about their spiritual health. And he said he was even willing to go into battle for them, suffering through tears. He says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and even though I was severely tested, and you know how I did not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful for you. So he was a guy, when he could say to them, you know what a Christian looks like. A Christian is someone who goes out of the way to serve you. A Christian is someone who does good things. A Christian is someone who lives a good life. He's the genuine article. He's not just some guy who's just loud-mouthing off and saying, this is what all you people should do. If you want to be genuine, if you want to be a Christian, you should do this. He led by example. He showed by his life. And he didn't just say, well, I've read a book, Some of us love reading books, and books are great to read, and I wish I had more time to read more books. But sometimes we can have a lot of knowledge in our heads about what a Christian should look like. But we actually don't know how to practice it in our lives. Maybe we can read a book about, say, generosity. But what is the next step from reading a book about generosity, being a generous person? Well, then it's to do that, it's to practice it, isn't it? It's to give stuff to people, some of your own stuff, all right? That's generosity. And so he's not saying, look, I'm here to tell you people how to live your lives. I'm here to tell you what you should do. But he's saying, you know me, and you've seen the way I live. And so that's for you as a Christian. If you're just a new Christian and you're looking around and saying, you know, what is this Christianity like? Or if you're someone who wants to be a Christian and find out more, you need to find people that you can look at and say, that person looks like the genuine article. Now, ultimately, Jesus is our genuine article, isn't he? But there are others around as well, aren't there, that we know of? People we know we can trust, and people that represent Jesus that we can follow. And so, why is he saying this? He's not trying to say that he does all this stuff in order to get to heaven. He's not trying to say that he works harder in order so that God will love him, because we know the Bible never teaches that, does it? The Bible always says that a person is saved by grace, meaning that God gives salvation freely. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. You don't have to pay it off. You don't have to save up for it. You don't have to inherit it from your parents. You don't have to do certain things, certain mysterious things in a church somewhere, okay, in order to get saved. Sometimes people think, well, I've got to get baptized. Well, baptism is good, but being baptized does not make you into a Christian. Okay. Sometimes we think, I've got to read my Bible. Well, reading the Bible is awesome. Read the Bible, sure. But reading the Bible does not make you a Christian, does it? It is something that God does by his Spirit. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying to his hearers then and to us today is that this is what a Christian looks like. This is what we should be aiming for. This is what we should be looking for. Someone who puts into practice what they preach. And for Paul, that is simply following with the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him, serving the Lord. But equally, we also need to preach what we practice. And sometimes, some of us find this harder. Some of us are good at the practicing, you know, we're really good at living out the Christian life, and you know this for yourself. And then some of us, though, we maybe prefer to talk. And both of them are really important. You may have heard people say, there's a quote that often gets put up and different people will use it. They'll say, hey, there was this guy, this old monk guy who lived a long time ago called Francis of Assisi. He said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Has anybody ever heard that quote before? Okay, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. And it kind of sounds awesome. It's like, wow, man, that's pretty cool. But there's a problem with that, okay? The first problem is that he probably never said that. He probably said something like this: no brother shall preach contrary to the teaching of the church. All friars must also preach by their deeds. Okay? That's probably more closely what he actually said. And somebody's just taken that and chopped the first part off and chopped the bit about friars off, because really nobody knows what friars are anymore, apart from Friar Tuck. And then it just used that as a little quote. And it said, well, you know, and the idea of that is that you just live as a Christian, and then you really don't need to say anything, okay? You don't need to, because everybody will just look at you and go, wow, look at the wonderful life that Christine is living. And sorry, Christine, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I'm just using you as an example, right? And so, you know, just looking at them and going, wow, that, you know, wonderful person, I want to be a Christian now. But the point is, they may not know necessarily that you are a Christian, or they may not connect the dots. And so you still need to hear about what Christine believes. You still need to hear about Christine's faith. You still need to hear that she loves the Lord Jesus Christ and she trusts and believes in him. And so Notice the other part of this when he talks about himself as an example. He says, you saw the way I lived among you, but then he also says how you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house, publicly and privately. And I have declared to both Jews and Greeks, that's everybody, right? That's Māoris and Pākehās, right? That's everybody, Jews and Greeks, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they could, you know, we could see what he's saying is that I have endeavored, I've tried to live the Christian life, and you know the kind of life I've had, and you know people who live that life, but he says also, I have been really eager always to talk to you about Jesus. Okay, I haven't stopped talking to you about Jesus. I've used the opportunities that I have to open the Bible with you and to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And so that's a good challenge for us, isn't it? It's important for us to practice what we preach, but it's just as important for us to preach what we practice. Okay? And for some of us, that's the harder part. Some of us, that's the more difficult thing, just finding the words. Will they just think I'm a weirdo? Will they reject me? Will they not want to talk to me again? And but it is important to take those opportunities to talk about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because words are vital, aren't they? He talks about how he never hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful. He talks about his message. And what was his message? He says his message was, what is it? Repentance, that they might turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody here been converted? Yeah, some of you seem a little bit uncertain. I've been converted, okay? We used to use that in the olden days a lot more, eh? People would say they were converted. And then you used to get the news on Monday and you'd read about car conversions. You know, like, and I used to get confused, like, so is that like converting a car? Do you convert a car and you convert a person? Is that the same thing? Okay, so what happens in a car conversion? Right. Just for the record, I haven't done a car conversion of somebody I don't know. All right, so car, when you car conversion, you go and you take the car and you take it off, you drive off in it. And it was parked on Manurua Road, and now it's over on Remuera somewhere, okay? Because you needed a car. And you take the car, you convert the car. And God does the same. Oh, a baby. Somebody does the same thing. God does the same thing in our lives, all right? God comes into our lives, and he takes over your life and my life, and that's called conversion. What does it involve? Well, it involves two things, and these two things are like, I don't have a coin in my pocket, I've got some in the car, but a coin, you know, a coin, you do heads and tails. Why do you do heads and tails? See if you win, all right? If you, whoever's going to do the dishes or whatever it is like that, okay? Who's going to get to listen to the stereo first in the car or something like that? That's what we sometimes do, all right? So you, on one side of a coin, you've got a head. On the other side of the coin, you've got a bird or whatever it is, okay? And that's the tail. But it's the same coin, isn't it? You can't separate the two. You can't say, well, this coin has got heads on both sides, unless you're a cheater, all right? You don't do that. And it's the same with conversion. Conversion involves repentance and faith. Repentance, and he says, that was his message. He preached and he called people to repentance, that they must turn to God in repentance. And so repentance is turning away. Repentance is acknowledging your sin and saying, My life sucks before God. My life is totally out of whack. My life is not acceptable to him. And I know that as I stand before God, my life is now condemned. My heart is bad. My motives are bad. And I'm not obeying God's law. In fact, I'm breaking God's law. And that is repentance. And repentance is acknowledging that and saying, I want to turn from that. I want to turn and I want to go God's way. That's repentance. But you also need to have faith, don't you? You need to have faith, because plenty of people repent. We repent of stuff all the time, don't you? You know, ever had a bit of road rage? You know, get a bit of road rage? Do you repent after road rage? I repent after I have a little bit of road rage, you know? It's like, what are you doing? My kids are saying, who are you talking to? I'm talking to that person in that car up there. Well, they can't hear you, okay? I don't get out and smash people, don't worry. But, you know, if you do something like that, you go, is that right way for me to live? Is that honoring to God? What if that person, you know, came over and said, oh, you know, who are you and where are you from? And I'd have to say, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. And you repent of that. And people repent of all kinds of things all the time. Stuff they knew that they're doing that they should not be doing. And they go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But does that mean that they have changed? Does that mean that their lives have been turned around? And that's why faith is so important, isn't it? Conversion involves turning away from sin and turning back to God and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and repentance. Trusting and depending on Him. Because by itself, repentance is incomplete. Drug addicts repent. Wife beaters repent. But unless we turn to God and turn to something better, then that is not true conversion. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is what conversion involves. That is turning away from sin and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. As says in 1 John, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And so I think if you're not a Christian today, that's kind of helpful for you to know. It's helpful for you to understand this. What are these Christians on about? What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has repented of their sins and put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what a Christian is. And that is what the Apostle Paul says. That's what he wants to talk about. That's his message. It's important for us to understand that. It's important for you as a Christian to understand that, because sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we go, well, I'm a Christian and I go to church or something like that, which is good, but that's not ultimately what defines you as a Christian. A Christian is someone who has been converted, who has repented of their sins and turned to God. And so I want to encourage you this morning. You guys are doing a great job as Christians. I know the effort you put in. I know the hard work you guys are putting in. I know the sacrifices you make. But it's just really important for us also to be challenged and to be reminded and have an example set before us of what it means. What does a Christian life look like? What does that ideal Christian look like? Someone who has repented and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray, shall we, and ask God's blessing upon us. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity today that we've had to gather around your word and to be reminded of what a Christian looks like. That a Christian is someone who not only puts into practice what they say, but also say what they live out and what they believe. We thank you for the example of your servant, the Apostle Paul, who is a man who practiced what he preached and preached what he practiced. And we pray that we too would follow his example, and we would find and surround ourselves with people who live like this. We pray for your help in each step of the way, that we would do this in total dependence upon you. I thank you for everybody here today, Lord, and I pray that your word would penetrate into our hearts and lives by your Spirit, who is able to take your word and even take the weak words of mere mortals like myself and use them for your glory and for your honor. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would attend your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.